Chapter 16. The tornado blew right through the heart of the herd, and the tightly knit monsters were knocked out of their calculated formation by the impossibly strong magical winds. The intense gale pushed several of the monsters onto their backs, and I was grateful the elemental mages had given the army a brief warning before they unleashed their attack, because the field was now littered with enormous bodies that looked pretty pissed off. As the agitated monsters struggled to regain their footing, I wrapped my arms around Layla to brace her from the powerful winds. The petite summoner grasped me back tightly, and we ducked over to the tree line to take cover. Luckily for us both, the magic-fueled tornado was concentrated on the monsters, and I was in awe of the amount of control, not to mention mana required, to pull off such a move. Merringer Sleet looked every inch the powerful mage as his milky white eyes concentrated on the monsters in front of him. His arms twisted in the air as he manipulated the winds, and I could feel the swell of his mana from our perch in the tree line. Galahar was equally as imposing as the headmaster. The Grand Mage's jaw was gritted in determination, and his brilliant blue eyes glowed like beacons in the dark storm as they followed the same path as Sleet's. While the headmaster's hands twisted with the tornado, my father-in-law's remained stationary, and I realized he provided the stability to the elemental display. And as for Nia, my wife's hands were stretched out in front of her, and she dragged them downward as Sleet's twisted in circles. Then I realized she was the one who guided the storm in its proper direction toward the remaining monsters.
Maika, this is... wow...
Layla muttered as she relaxed against me, and the petite summoner's eyes were round as discs as they fell on the three mages.
I always knew Sleet and the Grand Mage were powerful, but this is something else entirely. And Nia!
The brunette mage trailed off as she shook her head incredulously. Yeah, she's amazing, I breathed, and my heart swelled with pride.
We're so incredibly lucky to have that girl on our side.
I agree, I nodded slowly, as I watched my wife hurtle elemental blast after blast as the monsters attempted to stand up. And while I couldn't see my reflection, of course, I had a feeling my face was just as amazed as Layla's. I always knew she was incredibly special, and this only proves my theory. Nia's an exceptionally talented mage. Who knows, maybe one day she'll take up her father's helm.
You're capable of it, too,
Layla whispered, and the mage offered me a pretty smile.
I mean it, Griff. You're a serious badass, and not to mention a great leader. I don't see why that couldn't be you up there someday.
You flatter me, Bethel, I smirked, and then I offered Layla a more sincere grin. Thank you. And for the record, you're quite remarkable yourself. That move back there with the spruce boar and Kachem, that was a great plan. Don't sell yourself short.
Thanks, Griff,
the summoner smiled at me. But then a resounding boom of thunder exploded around us. The herd of mages screeched, but their sounds were quickly drowned out by the storm. While I was still in shock and amazement over the initial blast, I couldn't help but wonder about the amount of mana Nia was exhausting. The elementalist's Skelra glittered like onyx as she helped the Grand Mage and the headmaster control the raging tempest, and all I could picture in my head was the memory of Nia fainting before the Sycorot. A wave of fear passed through me, but it was slightly quelled when Layla gently touched my arm.
She's got this,
Layla murmured, as if she'd read my thoughts.
Don't worry about it, Griffy.
Easier said than done, I admitted, as I watched my wife send a surge of wind at the skinless monster I couldn't stop running into. I swore to myself if I saw that monster in the field after this, it would be my duty to take it down. Finally, the tornado ceased, and slowly but surely, sunlight returned to the field around us. I looked over at the elemental mages and was pleasantly surprised to see Nia's hair was no longer airborne, and her eyes were back to their normal shade of ice blue. But even more importantly than her physical appearance, she was still conscious, which told me her mana hadn't depleted from the effort of the storm magic. The remaining monsters on the field had been successfully pushed back, which would give us a major advantage now. Then Galahar Kenefic straightened himself up, and with a loud voice, addressed the soldiers in the field.
"Onward!"
the Grand Mage declared.
"Let us show these vile beasts what happens to creatures that attempt to breach our enclave."
The crowd of soldiers and mages cheered, and Layla and I rose up from our spot amongst the trees.
"Look, the monsters are nowhere near each other now," Layla pointed out. "It's the perfect time for everyone to split up and resume the battle. They're more vulnerable on their own, and this separation could lead to our victory."
"Spoken like a true general," I teased her.
Yeah,
the petite summoner rolled her eyes.
"Whatever, Griffy. I'm going to hop back on my hippocrans and join up with some of the soldiers near the front of the field. There aren't as many mages there, and I know Orin and Violeth could use some comedic relief. I'm the heroine they need right now."
"You're too much sometimes," I laughed at the brunette mage.
"And you love it."
Layla stuck her tongue out at me. "I'll do the same in the back," I said in an attempt to return to our prior subject. "No one wants to head up the rear, but we need people at opposite ends if this enclosure technique works."
"Maybe one day we'll get to meet in the middle,"
Layla smiled, and the summoner tucked a strand of auburn hair behind her ear. "That'll be the day," I smirked. After Layla attacked me with a quick peck, she pulled a dark blue crystal from her pouch and summoned her hippocrans. Once it appeared, she mounted the beast in one fluid motion and took off toward a group of waiting soldiers. Once Layla had departed, I recalled my spruce boar to its essence crystal. The lightning-conducting beetle had served me well and deserved a break from the fight. So I summoned my most important monster, and Dio appeared with his feline mouth twisted into a frown as he dramatically glared at me.
"I've been so bored," Dio pouted. "You guys always have all of the fun without me."
"Sorry, bud," I apologized to the saber-toothed cat. "I didn't think you'd find a lizard monster too enjoyable."
"Ugh, I could have,"
my familiar whined. "But now I guess we'll never know. Next time, I promise. Though, that may come a lot sooner than you think." I laughed at my familiar's serious tone. And then I gestured around at the field at the remaining monsters. "We still have plenty of monsters to go after."
"That's exactly what I wanted to hear,"
Dio purred, and the large cat ducked down for me to mount him. Our partnership was routine at this point, and I admired the bond between the monster and me. We galloped out into the field, and my tawny monster dodged several smaller battles in the process. Though we got involved in a few here and there, but only enough to help someone move away from a strike or distract a mega or offer a whoop of encouragement to the groups of soldiers and mages. Everyone seemed to be in better spirits since Galahar, Sleet, and Nia had conjured the storm and separated the herd. It felt like there was hope, and everyone was using that as motivation to push themselves further and defend the enclave we knew and loved. As Dio and I neared the back of the battlefield, I caught sight of an enemy I could no longer avoid, and once again, I found myself face to eyeless face with the horrific skinless creature. While it was still strange to look at, its blood-slicked pink form no longer creeped me out as it had before. I was in survival mode, not to mention high on adrenaline, and I wanted nothing more than to take the monster down, so I pondered my strategy from before. Skinless didn't seem like it could track movement that wasn't on the ground, so an aerial assault seemed like the best plan. The only problem lay in which monster I could utilize for the task. I'd exhausted the pyreworm and the Vinghund, and Sarah's snapdarner had worn itself down as well. I only had so long until the skinless monster could sense me, so I needed to think quickly, but the decision seemed to make itself when a silver and pink blur streaked right past Skinless and unleashed a stream of acid on the creature. Skinless howled as the vicious material bubbled through the surface of its body and corroded all the way down to its bleached ivory bones. The sight was horrendous, but I pulled my eyes away long enough to grin up at Kalon and Syra. My dark-skinned lover looked like a vengeful goddess from atop her dragon familiar, and she let out a battle cry as Kaelon let loose another burst of acid. Skinless yelped, and then swiped at the air with one of its six insectoid legs in an attempt to knock down the dragon. But Kaelon was far quicker than the enormous monster, and managed to evade its grasp.
Syra!
I gasped, and I caught the eye of my lover as she flew by. Just as Skinless reached out a second time, another blur, this one brown and gold, zoomed by, and its talons made contact with the creature's face and left deep scratches that immediately flooded with blood. Skinless bellowed and tried to reach out and grab the thing, but it wasn't fast enough. Then the blur came into focus, and despite myself, I grinned.
Freya!
I shouted, and the Hawk Princess let out a definitive screech that I understood to be a greeting before she slammed right into Skinless. While I didn't like that the two women and the unborn children in their wombs were in harm's way, I was happy to be reunited with my wife and lover. The two were powerful warriors, just like my other women, and the team never felt complete without them there. While Freya and Syra took turns slashing at Skinless, I took a step back and reached for an essence crystal, but I was interrupted when I heard Syra cry out my name.
Griff, we've got this!
The curly-haired summoner yelled.
Go ahead and help the others! They look like they need it more than we do! Are you sure?
I shouted back, and Syra vigorously nodded her head.
Wouldn't have offered otherwise!
She winked, and her dark eyes were playful, even despite the circumstances.
Now go!
Freya let out another screech, and I knew from the look in her gold-flecked brown eyes that she agreed with Syra. So I nodded once, and then I turned away from Skinless and searched the field until I spotted a group of mages who appeared to need assistance. The team was clustered together near a gray-green millipede monster that was identical to the one Fi had crushed earlier. I couldn't recall if any of the others in the herd were duplicates, but with the group of monsters this large, it was hard to keep track, and my mind was weary from the long hours and the mana I'd been using. The monster was only a few hundred feet away from me, so I started to run in its direction, and as I did, I summoned my speed slug and attached it to my shoulder. Once the slimy monster was perched, I tore off and arrived just in time to dodge a swipe from one of the millipede's many legs. Once I cleared the attack, I summoned a few of my monsters in rapid succession. My Baroker, my Arachnus, and my Kalgori. My summons appeared and awaited my command, but before I could issue orders, I felt a tingle run through my body.
Master, why are you excluding us?
Utuni wondered sadly.
We could help you, just as much as any of your creatures can. Yes, please let us help,
Mira Lee chimed in.
Any enemy of yours is enemies of ours, too. I would love another chance to crush those insolent things,
Fi growled. I briefly entertained the idea. The Arkans would be extremely helpful in this fight, and their combined powers was just the advantage we needed right now. But I was afraid of exhausting all of my mana at once. We still had no idea where the herd had come from, and I didn't want to risk using my greatest weapon prematurely. So I relayed that message to the monster goddesses, and I took care to assure them this was strategic, not personal. We have to be smart about this, I said to them softly. You're all total badasses, but I'll need you more once we get through these weaker monsters.
I suppose that's fair,
Fi sniffed.
Okay, master. Proceed with your other creatures.
I felt the Arkans fade into the background of my mind, and once they did, I brought my attention back to my team of monsters and the mages who cowered before the millipede. I looked to my Kalgori first. Swarm, and keep it occupied! The butterflies multiplied and then did their thing and flew at the millipede's face. Once they'd begun their attack, I looked to the group of mages, and they all stared at me wide-eyed.
I'm here to help, I assured them. Fall back and see if there's another team in need of backup.
One of the mages, a young blonde woman, wore a stubborn expression. But when another of the millipede's legs swung at us, her face quickly changed.
"Thank you,"
she said, and without another word, her and her team scurried away. Once they were gone, I looked to my Baroker and commanded the beast to place me onto its shoulder. My summons extended its enormous hand out to me, and once I climbed onto it, my monster lifted me high into the air. From this vantage point, I could see the full scope of the fight. Bursts of elemental magic flared in the air along with the tendrils of smoke, which combined with the golden sun created a light haze over the battlefield. I tried to single out my friends and lovers from the crowd of mages, but none of them were anywhere to be seen. So I figured they were still on the front lines with Sleet and Galahar. Then the Broker's hand stopped midair, and it carefully placed me on its shoulder. I steadied myself as best as I could, and I reached through the bond with my Arachnus and borrowed the Spider Woman's powers so I could stick to the Broker's skin. The Baroker raised its wicked-looking flaming broadsword into the air, and a grin reached my lips. The millipede had no idea what it was about to deal with. Then I commanded my enormous summons to attack, and the Baroker happily swung its sword at the bug-like monster with a bellow of intimidation. The giant millipede was so distracted by the Kalgori that the Baroker took it by surprise, and the creature just barely managed to escape the blade as it swiped by, so I ordered the Baroker to keep at it. And as the armored monster pursued the millipede, I had an idea. I commanded the Baroker to pause for a moment, and then instructed the Arachnus to spin her webbing around the many-legged creature and wrap it up into a cocoon. The woman-faced spider went to work and nimbly spun a web around the bottom of the millipede, and the creature struggled to move as its legs became entwined. It hissed at the Arachnus and thrashed about, but my spider summon's webs were too strong. I waved off the Kalgori, and the swarm soon returned to its singular butterfly form. It had executed its distracting attack well, but I didn't want it to get hurt in the final effort to take down the millipede. The Arachnus successfully managed to wrap up the multitude of legs, and the millipede fell to the ground. Then, at my command, the Baroker gave one last slice of its sword, and the millipede was split in two with a screech and a splash of gore. Once the giant bug disintegrated, I let out a whoop of excitement.
"Fuck yes!"
I proclaimed and fist-pumped. We'd defeated yet another monster. If we kept at this pace, we could have the whole herd subdued in no time. Adrenaline surged through me, and after a second of basking in my victory, I spied another monster nearby, and the Baroker and I went for another round of battle. The preceding hours stretched by like days. What had been only hours of fighting the herd and protecting the Enclave felt more like a week of continuous exertion. My body ached, and as much as I didn't want to admit defeat, my mana was on the decline. While a vast number of mega monsters had met their demise at our hands, the rest of the seemingly endless herd picked up the slack and fought against us even harder than their predecessors. After an hour or two, sweat and grime coated my body in a wet and sticky coating, and as the sun bore down upon us, I stripped off my jacket and let it fall to the ground beside me. Then I took care to empty my pockets and reinforce my bandolier and the sheath of my father's dagger, wicked the moisture from my forehead, and then bounced in place to regain momentum. I needed to stay sharp, focused, even though all I wanted to do was take a shower and a long nap. I took a long, deep breath and closed my eyes for a second as I did. I couldn't give up quite yet, not when we'd already gotten so far. One monster had evaded me all day, and it was high time for it to join its buddies in oblivion. The creature had hung near the back of the herd, as if it were a secret weapon trying to conserve its energy for a last-minute strike, and no one had approached it yet. The sight of the monster unsettled me to the marrow, and it was far worse than the Vencrimsel, Sycorot, and Skinless creature combined. Over the years, I'd heard folk tales about this monster. Campfire stories meant for childish audiences that still managed to scare most full-grown adults. I'd heard its name in many towns, from many mouths, and as most spooky stories did, its physical description varied amongst its storytellers. Some said it was small with the ability to break itself apart and scatter the continent with miniature forms of itself. Some cited glowing green eyes, while others swore up and down that they were a deep crimson with no pupils. Others insisted one bite from its razor-sharp teeth would send the victim straight into madness. Some even claimed the monster was immortal, but I wasn't too certain of that. Still, I was positive that what stood before me was the Regarret, a twitching, squeaking mass of thousands of rats entwined by their tails and entrails in a massive pile that supposedly shared one hive mind, and the rodents were larger than the kind that scurried in Mistral's fields or the inside of tavern walls. These rats were the size of domestic cats, and they all existed in varying levels of disease and decay. Some were severely bloated, with their mangy gray-furred stomachs distended and filled with buzzing flies or thick black blood that had pulled, while others were mostly skeletal, with only enough skin left to indicate it had once been a living rodent. The monster exuded an odor that until now had evaded my nostrils, but now, due to my close proximity, the stench wreaked havoc on my sense of smell and traveled onto my stomach. It was sour, like a garbage bin left out in the sun for many days, or cow's milk that had curdled in the container, with putrid notes of feces, urine, mold, and the metallic twinge of old blood. Bile rose up in my throat and threatened to escape me. But as I stared up at the mythical creature, I knew two things. One, it wasn't going to be an easy fight. And two, I needed to destroy it before it had the chance to tear Varlet apart. The smell of the Regarret alone was almost enough to put me under completely. So I raised my sleeve up to my nostrils and covered them the best I could while I tried to decide which of my summons would most benefit the fight. However, before I could get my plan ready, I noticed thousands of beady, unblinking red-orange eyes lock right onto me. "Fuck!" I cursed, and then the monster started to scurry toward me. One rat? Easy enough to evade. But multitudes of mutated rats fused together by their organs? That was a whole other story. Even with the aid of a speed slug, I struggled to maintain a pace fast enough to keep me ahead of the Regarret. While the monster and I occupied the tail end of the blown-apart herd, we were still closer to the enclave than I preferred, and I didn't want to risk the creature slipping away. The Regarret hissed as it tumbled at me, and though the rats all shared one consciousness, the pitches and octaves were disjointed like an out-of-tune instrument. It had a dizzying effect on my ears, and I winced as my brain fought to perceive the noise. Could this be the madness described in one of the folk tales? My brain felt heavy in my head, and I shook myself back and forth in an attempt to regain stability, but I was nearing the verge of passing out as the hisses occupied every last brain cell. With every note in harmony, strange thoughts began to appear in my mind, and I found myself transfixed on things I'd never even thought of before. Colors, shapes, patterns. They all swirled around me, and I'd never felt so simultaneously alone and so together with the energy of the universe. I could feel the blinks of every living creature on this field, along with their footsteps, moisture droplets, and inhales, and the sounds of it all danced around inside of me. This energy was happy, peaceful. A few minutes ago, I'd wanted to fight the Regarret, and now that I looked at it, the desire was gone. Why would I ever want to hurt such an adorable creature? Something so lovely and wholly innocent of anything. Why would I hate something the Maker had crafted in his image? The Regarret wasn't an enemy. I was. The Regarret's red-orange eyes glowed, and the shade emulated trust. I wanted to peer into the warm red abyss. Those eyes belonged to my friends. Suddenly, tears formed in the corners of my own. I was so blissful, content. I could close my eyes and dream the happiest dreams. My introspection was interrupted by a yank at my arm, and I came to just in time to see Dio before he dragged me far away from the Regarret with his mouth.
Griff?
He asked once he'd put some space between us and the rats. And the moment he did, I broke free from my trance.
Thank you, I said to my familiar, and I blinked my eyes rapidly as I tried to refocus.
I don't know what happened there.
Your eyes got kind of freaky. Glazed? I don't know, boss. It was weird. I got scared you were going to join the pile or something. You seemed so eager to go at them.
I shuddered at the thought, and I reached out and stroked the saber-toothed cat's soft fur. Thanks for watching out for me, I repeated to him, and my familiar purred as I hit just the right spot.
Yeesh! Even I wouldn't try to chew on that thing,
Dio cringed as he surveyed the Regarret.
That's such an awful waste of rats.
You've got that right, I sighed. We need to take it out before it gets to anyone else. So, with the wave of my will, I summoned my Kalgori over to me. The pale green butterfly monster appeared before me and subtly flared its razor-edged wings in the air. Multiply and swarm, I commanded my summons. Right over the Regarret, over there. The Kalgori did as it was told, and it began to split off. One became two, two became four, on and on, until thousands of butterflies flapped their wings in midair and approached the mutated monster. The Regarret chattered at the swarm in its creepy rat voice, but it obviously didn't see the butterfly as a threat, though it definitely should have. Then my summons tore into the monster with finesse, and soon, blood and other bodily liquids began to mist the air from all directions as the Kalgori's bladed wings sliced right into the pile of decaying rats. Even though Dio and I were already a good distance from the mega-sized monster, we took a few steps backward to avoid getting sprayed with the carnage. It was not a pretty sight to behold. I'd thought the Vincrimzel's viscous black blood had been disgusting as it oozed over Adorna. But this was a million times worse than that. Entrails, blood, maggots, and decayed flesh spewed to the ground with every slice, and with it came an even more overwhelming stench of death and rotted flesh. The air grew thick with the pungent odor, and I tucked my head into my shirt to keep from inhaling. Once the Regarret stopped twitching, I recalled the Kalgori back to its crystal and thanked my monster for its service. Then I smiled as I regarded the collapsed creature. The Regarret had put up a good fight, but in the end, it had been no match for my summons. But my victory proved to be premature, because suddenly the pile pulsed. My smile faded and my heart dropped as the chopped-up horde of rats began to twitch even faster. What the fuck was happening? How was it still moving? The Kalgori had ripped right into it. How could it still be alive? But therein lied the explanation. The Regarret was already a pile of living decay, so of course a few more surface wounds weren't going to hurt it. The Regarret let out a cry, this one louder than the last. This screech was one of irritation. It was pissed, and I needed to act fast. I needed something that could steamroll the Regarret, something that wouldn't tremble in the alarming presence of such a disgusting monster. I had a single summons in mind, one I'd already been hesitant to utilize. Its red essence crystal had been gifted to me by my father figure, Maelor, just before I'd left for the academy. It had been his father's crystal, and the old man insisted on passing it to me as a gift. The Sun Giant. The grade A monster was volatile and difficult to control, but it was the single most powerful monster in my arsenal. Mana depletion was definitely a concern, but I couldn't allow the Regarret to roam freely, and obviously slashing at it was no longer a viable option. So I retrieved the crystal, said a quick prayer, and then threw it in front of the Regarret. The Sun Giant appeared, a looming figure of long, lean limbs and eyes of pure yellow light. Its hardened yellow skin glowed red underneath, as if light were caught in its bloodstream, and energy swirled around its palms in shimmering waves. It was a terrifying thing to look at, but for different reasons than the Rigaret. The Rigaret hissed at the Sun Giant, but my summons was unfazed by the unsettling siren's call, and simply fixed its sunlit eyes right at the oozing pile of rats. The rats began to squeak in pain as the light bore onto them, and then I took a deep breath and gave the Sun Giant a single command. "Light them up," I instructed, and as my mana quivered within me, I began to doubt my level of control over the enormous being. But by some miracle, I felt a tug in my consciousness, and the Sun Giant gave me what appeared to be a nod. Then, with a single surge, the huge monster sent a wave of energy right at the Rigaret. The rat horde exploded with a terrible squelching sound, and as the terrible rodent pile disintegrated, it soaked the ground in a layer of rotted viscera, pus, and other bodily fluids I didn't even want to investigate. I stood there and panted as my breath became ragged in my chest. While the rats had put up quite the fight, they were no match for my summons. However, now that it was gone, I could feel my control of the giant begin to wane. As much as my power had increased over the last year, I was weakened from this battle, and the Sun Giant required too much mana to sustain for long. So I recalled my Sun Giant, and once the Grade A monster returned to its ruby crystal form, my knees buckled, and I fell to the ground. Luckily, I landed just far enough from the Rigaret remains to avoid it completely, but my head swarmed with exhaustion. Then I noticed a slickness above my lip, and when I wiped it with the back of my hand, it left a deep red streak on my skin. Blood. I was on the verge of depletion.
"Bus?"
Dio muttered as he sank down beside me and nudged me with his tawny head.
"Are you okay?"
"I'll be fine," I assured my familiar. "I just need to get some potions in me."
"Where do we get those?"
Dio wondered. It was a great question. We weren't in Varlay, and our place in the battlefield was far behind the rest of the army. I knew healers had accompanied us out here, but I also knew their hands were full with injured mages in worse positions than I was in.
"We have to keep pushing,"
I shook my head, and Dio gave me a concerned look.
"Boss, are you sure?"
the saber-toothed cat asked softly.
"You aren't looking so good, and I don't want you to get even more hurt than you are."
"If we don't keep fighting, the herd will make it to Varlay," I insisted as another trickle of blood came from my nose. But I swiped it away and stared past my familiar and out to the battle. The herd had pushed forward significantly, and up ahead of me was a wall of at least 6 mega monsters. Fuck. Based on their prior formation, I had a feeling this back group of creatures would soon join the others, and once the herd was assembled, our army would be screwed. I was about to relay such to Dio, when suddenly a voice rang out. I struggled to hear it at first, but then it amplified somehow and echoed throughout the land.
"We must fall back,"
Galahar Kinefic proclaimed from afar. And the Grand Mage's tone was everything a leader's voice should be, powerful and difficult to refute as he addressed our troops.
"Our enemy approaches Varlay, and if we do not retreat now, we will surely lose."
The soldiers and mages up ahead peered around at each other as they listened to Galahar's order, and without hesitation, they began the effort of retreating. I looked to the wall of monsters in front of me, and while I considered staying out in the field for a little while longer, I couldn't refute the Grand Mage's orders. We needed to reach Varlay as quickly as we possibly could before the herd got there. Faith was running out. We'd tried our luck at the beginning of the battle, and it seemed to be in our favor, but the mega-sized monsters were just too powerful, and we needed to get our troops to safety before Varlay was left entirely defenseless.
"Dio, I need you to get into my pouch," I instructed my familiar. "We need to cross the field, and the best way to get there without getting crushed in the meantime is to fly."
"Whatever you say, boss,"
Dio replied, and then the saber-toothed cat shrank down to kitten size. I scooped him up and carefully placed him into my hip pouch. Once he was secure,
I reached into my bandolier to grab either the pyreworm or the Vinghund. But suddenly, the ground around me shook. Then I looked up to see the wall of monsters rapidly approaching. I fumbled around as I tried to find a crystal, but with all of the summoning I'd done today, my crystals were out of order and strewn about randomly. My hands shook as I tried to find the pyreworm, but the crystal was nowhere to be found. I was fucked. I was totally fucked. I had one last resort, and it would likely drain my mana if I attempted it, but I saw no other choice. I needed the assistance of the Arkans. Before I could give the order, though, the wall of monsters stopped in their tracks, and each straightened up as if they'd all been given an unheard command. What the fuck was going on? I froze in place as my eyes darted around at the herd, and a chill ran through me as I tried to make sense of what was happening. The monsters watched me with patient expressions, and their stillness and silence was completely eerie. Then they began to move, and I braced myself for an attack, but it never came. Instead, the herd parted right down the middle, and a beautiful woman emerged from the thrall.